football on off the ball.
Oh my goodness, he can't be, he's just lost his shorts. And we got a view of his rear end, and we've got a close-up of his rear end on the monitors. His shorts and his bicycle shorts underneath.
This is not that type of programme, Stephen.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The LOI Pod on Off The Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off The Ball all season.
Welcome back to another episode of the League of Ireland Pod. I'm Ben Symes, excuse me, filling in for Stephen Doyle, who's gone AWOL this week. I had the pleasure of being on League of Ireland commentary last week with the LOI Pod's own Vinnie Perth. Vinnie joins me now. Vinnie, how you doing?
All good. How are you, Ben?
Very well. And also, delighted to say, joined by another LOI Pod regular, Gareth McGlynn. Gareth, how are you getting on?
All good, Ben.
So, our commentary this Friday comes to you from Louth again. This time we're going down to Drogheda United. It's Drogheda United versus Dundalk in the reverse fixture of the Louth Derby, which obviously gave us a lot of fracas, I think it's fair to say, in the first fixture. So, Stephen Doyle will be at that one. He'll be joined by Vinnie Perth for that. As always, League of Ireland Late Night will be on Twitter from 10 p.m. where I'll be alongside Shane Keegan. And if you want a wrap-up of all the headlines, the LOI wrap-up with Ross Flanagan will be in your podcast feed from Saturday morning. Lads, it's quite usual that we go straight into either a game that happened last weekend or a game that's coming up this Friday. But I think first, it's fair to say we have to touch on the international call-ups within the league this week. So we've confirmed news that Pico Lopez is going to be going to the World Cup with Cape Verde. It looks like Joey Anang, the Pats goalkeeper, is going to be going with Ghana. And more importantly, potentially, we have four players included in Hamer Hellgribson's squad to face Canada and Qatar at the end of the month. Shamrock Rovers' Adam Brennan and Ed McGuinty are included. Dawson Devoy from Bohemians is included, as is Conor Brann, the Cork City goalkeeper in the First Division. Ex-League of Ireland star Mason Melia is included. Jaden Uma, obviously formerly of Cork City. And also Alex Murphy, formerly of Galway United as well. Lads, first of all, this is just brilliant news across the board.
Yeah, it is. It's really brilliant news. It's progression. It's what we wanted to see. I think there's an element of these games suit an opportunity for the manager to get these lads into the squad and have a look. If it was a competitive game, how many would be involved? Almost none. So why are they going in? We want to know why are they, you know, you can understand the likes of Adam Brennan, that's a young lad coming in, giving him a chance, but it seems a little bit early for the likes of Adam, and hopefully he goes on to have a wonderful career, but it feels early for one or two. But it is what it is. It's brilliant for them personally. It's brilliant for the league. But the Irish international team aren't going to qualify unless we develop better footballers, and this is part of that. So we understand it. And our domestic game is so important to developing those footballers and making them better. So therefore, this is Hamer playing his part in that, to be fair to him. So let's see how it plays out over the next 6-12 months, whether people are still involved at that stage.
Gareth, I had the pleasure of speaking to Jack Moylan on the pitch on Saturday in Mercia, and he spoke very fondly about his time in the League of Ireland and maybe the need to get behind the league for people who maybe follow the national team and don't follow the League of Ireland. And you'll see more players like this coming through. Is this maybe a change that the national team might start to look at the league? I know it's only friendlies, but they might start to look at the league to call players more often.
Yeah, well, I mean, when Hamer was tipped to get the job and then subsequently got the job, that's the kind of pitch he came with, what he had done at Iceland and how many players he had brought through the league there. And again, they moved on. The likes of Adam Brennan, it's perfect exposure just to give him an insight into what it's like at that level. So that hopefully when he does move on or he goes to bigger and better things, he's better equipped for it. But I mean, that's what we want. Vinny's right. I mean, are they going to go there and make a difference? I just hope they go, they're given a chance and they're not overawed by it during the training session, and they go and just stamp their authority in the changing room as much as they can without been completely big time Charlie being called up. But I think it's a good thing. I mean, even Brian and McGinty getting the exposure that they've been getting. Stephen Kenny brought a few goalkeepers in during his time as well. I think we need more of this, whether it's during these sessions, whether it's other sessions that are camps that they're brought up to. It can only be good for the league, and especially Davoy. I mean, there was a lot of media attention on Davoy and how well he's been playing, and rightly so. So this is his reward now to hopefully go and get another taste of it and kick on the season. So I'm sure all the clubs are delighted. And also want to say, I was surprised not to see Victor Osimvuna in the team as well. I know what people are saying, he's a bit young and he's better going to the 21s. I think he's been absolutely outstanding this year and probably consistently as good as Davoy. So there's another player that's just thriving in the league under Stephen Bradley again. I mean, the amount of people that Stephen Bradley has brought through and has international appearances or has been called up to squads or has gone on to bigger and better things. It's a credit to Rovers and Bradley.
Yeah, Hamer told us that he thinks the next natural progression for Victor's go to the under-21s, considering he hasn't played there yet. There is one worry around, obviously, these games. So the Qatar game is Thursday, the 28th of May. We do have a Dublin derby on Monday, which is the 25th. So essentially, if Adam Brennan, Ed McGinty, Dawson Avoy are involved in that game on Monday, they won't play the game on Thursday against Qatar. They won't be able to join up until match day minus one. And there won't be enough probably training session, we'd imagine, to get in the team for Qatar. The Friday 29th, the day after the Qatar games, Bohemians play Sligo Rovers and Shamrock Rovers play St. Pat's. Cork City are also in action against Finn Harps that night as well. We asked Hamer and Mircea, you know, does this mean that the games are going to be called off? And he basically said it's up to the league to sort that out themselves. He's called up the players. He spoke to the managers, who are happy that their players have been called up, but it's up to them to sort this out. Are we looking at a scenario here, Vinny, maybe where the derby could be called off on Monday and then games called off on the Friday again? I think the threshold is three usually that you can definitely get a game called off for. Obviously, we're looking at one for Bohemians and two for Shamrock Rovers. It's obviously going to create a lot of fixture congestion down the line if both these games do get called off as well. Is it something you're in favour for, to get players fast-tracked up to the senior team?
I think if it's the senior player, it's closer to one, isn't it? Or maybe 21s is two. But anyway, I think Rovers always are the most likely to look for the game called off because of how important Davoy is to them. You would say, will Shamrock Rovers do the same thing? I'm not so sure. Obviously, McGinty is different and the goalkeeper is different position, but you don't want Ed McGinty diving around after the ball, you know, at the end of a session. What a lot of these keepers, if they're not number one, end up doing, and then have expecting to play a match the following day. So it's not ideal for the team. The Rovers don't need any more fixture congestion. So it was just, I'm not sure. So it's not good for the managers. Shamrock Rovers in particular, it's not good for their planning over the season. As I said, it was just Adam Brennan, that'd be fine, but McGinty is so important to them. So it's not ideal and something have to be done, whether that's putting the game back 24 hours even, but refixtures for Rovers at the moment is not ideal, it's far from it. It will get any of the teams that are in Europe, it's going to be a headache. And Europe, when you play in Europe, the first round or two are fine, the league looks after you. It's when you win the Irish clubs now with seedings and coefficients in a competition like the conference tells you they're going to go two and three rounds in, that's when it becomes a massive problem. So it's not ideal. And yeah, look, it's great news for the league. As I said, the difference is Heimer done this, and certainly wouldn't suggest this to Stephen Bradley, I don't think he'd appreciate it, but Heimer done this in Iceland to help lads get moved out of the Iceland Atlantic League. It was part of why Iceland FA done it, and it was building their sort of letting other clubs or teams all over Europe know what their players can do. You know, you certainly don't want Adam Brennan in the international squad, even with that alone, his value, market value, has gone up as a result of this call up. And people want to know who he is, and those who already don't know in England and in further afield. So there will be attention in your players by being in the squad. So, is that a good thing? I don't know. So let's wait and see how all of this plays out over the next number of weeks.
Yeah, obviously that Dublin derby on Monday night, so just a couple of days away, and we'll have to see what Anna Reynolds and Stephen Bradley side. Anna Reynolds did call for common sense to prevail if players have to be called up around national team. So we'll see what that means. But if you focus on the games in the League of Ireland, obviously our commentary game this Friday night is the Louth Derby, Drogheda United at home to Dundalk. If we look at last week, Vinny, we were lucky enough to be in Dundalk and Oriel Park on Friday night. Your first visit back, a home win for Dundalk against the champions. I think it's fair to say maybe you're the lucky charm.
Yeah, I think I'll be invited back for the rest of the season. I think to be fair to Dundalk, like on reflection, how they played, and particularly in the first half, is a real credit to Kieran Condough. People say one of the most laziest comments in football, I think, nowadays is people saying on the front foot. Like, no one knows what that means. But Dundalk were so on the front foot from the start of the game. They really upset Rovers and took them out of rhythm. We spoke before the game, Ben, if you remember, we spoke about Horgan, Irubi and Owen Kenny having to cause Rovers back three problems. And they did that, but what they did is they caused Rovers back five problems. Their front foot press and Aidan Dervin came behind them. And at different stages, it might have been Keith Buckley. But the way, and the centre-halves went in after people, the way Dundalk played was brilliant to see. And Rovers had a spell in the second half, and Rovers would probably feel on chances they were lucky to lose the game. But Dundalk were excellent. Ben, you may agree with me on this, because everyone listening mightn't agree, because a lot of away fans go to Oriel Park and have a really bad experience. And I get it, and I understand it. But nights like Dundalk and Rovers the other night, it's just brilliant. Brilliant environment Oriel Park is for a Dundalk fan, I get it. There's all the stuff around toilets and stuff that needs to be better, don't get me wrong. But Oriel Park was absolutely rocking. I know I haven't been there in 4 or 5 years, but that reminded me of the good old days when Dundalk were winning stuff and big games. And the sort of the night was brilliant, and Dundalk were excellent on the night in Kilduff. And also to point out, tactically, him and staff made a big change in the middle of the second half, where they sort of took off young Kenny and added another midfielder in, and all that played off. And so they were excellent, and it was such an enjoyable night. So you have to give credit to Dundalk.
If we can touch on one thing in particular, I think a lot of Dundalk fans are worried when Conor Kearns got injured about a month or two ago. Enda Minogue stepped in and been superb. But those three saves at the end of the 90 the other night, I don't know if I've seen better string of saves than that in the League of Ireland, maybe in my whole life.
I was watching the game back today, actually, ironically, and Keith Tracy was on comms, and we were on the main stand, and they were on the far side over the shed. And if you remember the one from the free kick, where he said on commentary, effectively the makeable save, or he should have made that save. But actually, on our side and on LOI TV, I watched this afternoon, when you see it from behind, it is also as good as the other three good saves, right to depth as well. Bounces in front of him, goes through a six-man wall. And I was really fearful of Dundalk when Cairns got injured, and because it was at a stage where I don't think they were able to bring anybody else in unless there was someone at work. And Manoa has been exceptional over the last few weeks, and he won the points for them, didn't he, late in the game on Friday night. Have you seen any of the saves, Gareth?
Yeah, I saw them. I mean, and when we touch on the other games as well, it's so important your goalkeeper is good. And as you say, losing Cairns, they could have easily said, oh, Jesus. Or they could have went then and to the market and got someone who was just that okay. But given the confidence to Minogue, I mean, it's paying off tenfold.
Gareth, I spoke to Stephen Bradley after the game, and unfortunately I had a problem with the mic, so I didn't end up getting to produce the piece. But I asked him about the standard of the league. And obviously Dundalk being the promoted side and playing on the front foot, and they picked up 4 out of 6 points against Shamrock Rovers so far this season. And he actually made an effort to say, you know, I've heard a lot of people talking recently in the media saying that the standard of this league is dropping. He said, if you watch games like that tonight, you know absolutely the high standard of this league. I think it's fair to say I can assume you agree with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've been shouting about it all the time. I mean, you hear it in some quarters and even in commentary. And I don't know what games they're watching or what games they used to play. And when I was playing in the league, I finished in 2016. And when I came back from 2012 to 2016, it had jumped up levels. And I can only imagine what it's like right now. I mean, when I came back in 2016, I was about 34, 35. And the athleticism, the coaching, the technical ability, the physique of the players, it had gone up levels, and it's gone up three or four times again. And we're seeing that in Europe as well, what all the teams are doing. It's getting better. Now, the problem with Bradley has is when they go away to these grounds, and I saw it in Celtic Park, and they go to Dundalk, obviously the teams are elevating their performances. So that's why you've got to give Rovers so much credit for doing what they've done over the last 6 or 7 years. They're not able to do it week in, week out. I've seen it with Derry up and down and ebbs and flows. Dundalk, we've seen it ebbs and flows. Shamrock Rovers seem to come up against it every week, especially when they go away. So credit to them. But I mean, Stephen Bradley will be able to tell you what, and the players will be able to tell you what, how good it is and how good the players are in it. I said it before, there's three or four reasons for it. Full time and the coaching. All the managers and the coaches are all very, very good. And you've got teams of maybe two or three coaches and managers and analysts and all the works. Of course it's going to get better.
You know what it is, Ben? I don't know what you think it is. I think it's a bit of lazy journalism, whatever the right word is, or punditry, whoever said it, and all of that nonsense. It's different, though, but that's the only difference. It is different. At times, it's not as exciting. So the game on Friday was a bit of a throwback in terms of the intensity it was played at. A lot of League of Ireland games aren't played at that same intensity. But there's no doubt the league is strengthened. Whether the top team going back to the last 20 years, I think the great Shelbourne team under Fenlon or Bowes team under Roddy, Dundalk under Kenny, would they be better than the current Rovers team? Who cares? That's for other people to worry about. But there's no doubt the intensity is different. And teams are almost being, as Gary touched on, coaches. Like, it's like, I don't know who, somebody said recently that the coaches now are amazing and they're this and that. But you go back 20 years and it was, you know, Roddy, Fenlon, Pat Dolan, Brian Kerr, Stephen Kenny, Damien Richardson. You know, it was lots of really top class coaches. I just think it's a different game now, and it's a little bit quieter at times, is the best way to put it. There's a structure to a lot of teams. There's a way of playing. It's slower, and a certain amount of games that wouldn't get me off the tee. Doesn't mean that's down to personal preferences in terms of how you want the game to be played.
But Ben and Vinny, do you not think, right, the word intensity, do you not think, especially at the beginning of the season with so many games, that they're not able to get to the intensity levels Friday, Monday?
But that doesn't mean it's not there. That doesn't mean it's not there. Yeah. And it was, when we played once a week, there was a bit more intensity in terms of, and that was stylistically, a lot more teams moved the ball back to front quicker than they are now. And there's a little bit like, I'm not saying everyone has gone to the sort of ticky-tacky football or anything like that, but it's a different game now. And it's overanalyzed, as you said.
But I think it comes down to styles, Vinny. I mean, last week, right, I was looking at the Pat Shells game and only watched the highlights. But when I saw that game from last week, I said, that's one that if I was a neutral in Dublin, I would want to go and watch because of the styles of both managers. Both managers are intense, they're aggressive, and they're attacking styles. So it would turn into a bit of a basketball game. You would get more one-on-ones, you would get more chances, more crosses, more of the good stuff in football. Whereas you go now and look at other teams with their styles, when the styles don't match up, it just becomes a drabby, slow, real hard watch. And maybe, yes, we're always getting a few of them, but we need to get more aggressive styles within the league, I think.
Why do you think it's kind of lended that into a more, not to maybe disrespect coaches from 20, 25 years ago, but it's became more of a tactical affair? Is it purely down to full time and the more amount of coaches and analytical work that you can do during the week?
It's a mixture of all them, Ben. The world of football is changing, isn't it? I mean, Shamrock Rovers are using a long throw and it's Graham Bourke taking it. I didn't know he could even throw the ball 5 years ago. Now he's taking long throws. Bourke's one of the best players in the league. I wasn't slagging him. I'm just saying, There you go. So everyone is steal, like the best coaches steal ideas from others. But it is, we are, and it's why so many of our really good players, I won't mention names in case it's disrespectful, come back out of the UK or go to the UK and fail, even at Championship League 1, League 2 level, because they're not used to the intensity that football is played at. So there's levels to football, and in Ireland, we have a different type of level. So it's a whole mixture of all them things, Ben, where Pep changed the game, changed how it was played. Maybe Keith Andrews and his crew are changing it back the other way a little bit. But the game is a little bit more slower, possession-based. It's a little bit more... we could... If I was a Dundalk player, my statistics from Friday night might show I misplaced 4 or 5 passes, right? Certain other teams wouldn't have that. Managers may or may not look at that. I'd much rather err there trying to put Owen Kenny away and then being a misplaced pass than going sideways or backways. And it's about what you want. And we have a lot of coaches who are possession-based and like possession football. And then we've others who want it different ways. And we've just a lot of people. There's a certain amount of overcoaching going on in the league. Can't get away from that. Inverting fullbacks, inverting wingers, and not letting, you know, people play in the flow. But there's also a good range of managers now who have analysts, who have assistant coaches, who have everything. I mean, I looked at Dundalk bench and there was Keith Ward is on it, Ronan Coughlin is on it, two hugely experienced footballers, then even assistant manager, as well as a strength and conditioning coach, as well as a goalkeeping coach, Peter Terry, and more experience, knows the game. So there's a lot going on in the manager's head, and also a lot of them are copying the way a lot of teams have the way world football has moved into a little bit slower and maybe not as exciting. It's a bit like, Ben, you go to the Premiership. I went to a Brighton game a couple of months ago. I nearly fell asleep. It was boring.
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
some people like it. That's fine. I just
Jesus, Vinny. Nobody likes that. I've been over to Liverpool as well this year. It's horrible to watch. Horrible. Man, I'd rather go and watch that Dundalk Shamrock Rovers and Derry up in Celtic Park. Those sort of games are unbelievable to watch. Really, really good. And as you say, it's a kickback to the good old days.
What we've got to be careful of is, right, so there's not, like, you can't get 40 or 50,000 going to pay in to watch Dundalk and Rovers. But I'll tell you what, if that game was played in a 40,000 stadium and there was proper, you know, TV around it, advertising around it, it's as good a game as I've seen in a long time. And I mean, I get on the plane. I'm a bit of an anorak. I get into the plane the other time, fly into Gatwick and take 2 bus stops up to Cawley and watch them play in League 2, League 1. I do a lot of that stuff. And that game was as good as a lot of games, whether it's been a Premiership game or whatever that I've seen. I accept it's not the same quality, but in terms of entertainment value, I Ben, at the end, I was shouting quite a lot, wasn't I? Like, because, well, we were getting above the crowd as well. But it was a game you were really engaged in, wasn't it? Like, in terms of matches you go to, like, it was, you have to hear it, Gareth. It was really good atmosphere. And it wasn't because Dundalk won. It wasn't because I just got back. It was because... It was chances. There was a huge amount of oohs and ahs going on, red cards. Chances.
But again, that's the philosophy which Kilduff has brought to the club, which is getting the fans on board, which is getting the crowds back to watch matches. I would go and watch that style. Whereas if it was a different style that we see in the league, I mean, would the fans be as up? Would they be as vocal? Would there be as much of attendance? And that's where it comes down to. The club has to decide through the manager or themselves what philosophy they want to play with, or what style they want to play.
Can I ask about that kind of aggressive front foot style of play? And where we've talked about the dock for a lot, but I think this kind of just lends into it again. That front foot style, we saw another red card for them at the weekend with J.R. Wilson in the last couple of minutes. And I think that's the 5th red card given to a player for the dock so far this season. I asked Kilduff after the game, would he be worried about it? And he kind of said, no, look, that's the way we play. And some of the red cards were for, you know, Horgan got sent off for time wasting against Pat Athletic. But if you have 5 red cards and we're, you know, not even full way through the second round of fixtures, would you be a little bit concerned, Vinny?
Yeah, I would be. Because I tell you what, the first 10, 15 minutes, because it was the first 10 or 15 minutes, I think Rob Harvey let them away one or two. Rovers weren't happy. There's a couple of challenges. They play on the edge. I think J.R. Wilson's fourth yellow card, if I'm not mistaken, was going in after somebody, you know, really high. The centre halves went after somebody, and he just left something on, maybe in Adam Brennan. And they are picking up lots of more yellows, more reds than anybody else. But they've scored. And this is what I love about it. I haven't checked this, Ben. Help me out here. But I think they've scored more goals than anybody else this season as well.
I'll check it for you now.
So if they've done that, then it's working.
Pats is the only one.
Pats is the only team. Sorry, but he's scored more goals than Shamrock Rovers this season, Garrett.
Yeah.
Mark half. You know.
Well, Vinny, the best way to answer that question is, right, what if it have 10 points, Dundalk have 25 points, right? What if it have no yellow cards and no red cards? Which would you rather? And who would you rather go and watch? And
yeah, now the intensity
that Graham Coughlin has bought into Waterford. Waterford got 6 yellow cards against Derry. That's a massive jump to where they were against under John Daly. So it's about the intensity. It's about putting the opposition under pressure. It's about harassing them and not letting them get into a flow. And that's what Dundalk have got serious reward from. And then they've got quality players as well. And that's all that Graham's looking to do at Waterford. That's the big change that he has made. They're running harder, they're running faster, and they're putting the opposition under more pressure.
Yeah, and the last point on it, Ben, is that when you consider what Garrett has just said, it's a really well-made point, is if you're trying to win a league, you can't have the discipline record Dundalk have, because eventually it'll catch up with you. But it's working for them for what their goals are. It may actually stop them qualifying for Europe potentially, because a couple of suspensions and all of that stuff kicking at the wrong moments. But for what Dundalk need to do, and I spoke to a lot of people up there on Friday, they'd actually still be happy with just toward from the bottom. This is what Kilduff has done up there. There's a calmness about him. And his presence is of one of calmness. And that club knows it. And there's a quietness to them. They just need to stay out of the headlines. The journalists have stopped making up stories, or the leakers have stopped making up the stories, and they've just left them alone. And Kilduff is leading that. And that's what's really good about what they're doing. So they're a lesson to a lot of teams, how to go and beat somebody. They've been really, really good, and he deserves all the credit for that.
I want to ask about the other team in the Louth Derby, who had a pretty eventful week themselves. Drogheda United with a last gasp loss to Waterford on Monday night. I mean, first of all, we saw Kevin Doherty talk about the decision after the game. I mean, do I need to ask, Gareth, what your thoughts on that penalty decision were?
The only disappointing thing was it was Neil Doyle, who never, I very rarely gets big decisions wrong. Very rarely. So you got to give him the bye ball here. But yeah, we all saw it.
Big decisions wrong, would you stop?
Neil Doyle doesn't. Neil Doyle and Paul McLaughlin are the only two that doesn't get the big decisions wrong.
They do. But anyway, the rest
of them are at a different level. No,
that's
we all saw it.
To be fair, they say Harvey and... But the other lads that aren't as popular, for want of a word, to be fair to Neil Doyle, what's exceptional about him as a referee, he's very human and he'll speak to you. And he'll see Kevin at some stage next couple of weeks and he'll explain his decision. Now, if he's still convinced of the penalty, he'll explain why it is. And if he thinks he's got it completely wrong, he'll say, "I got that wrong." That's what Neil is very, very good at. Where there's another cohort of referees who just wouldn't come near you. And just wouldn't, even if they made the cut of big calls. But they've all made wrong decisions. All managers and players have made wrong decisions. It was a shocker.
It's a shocker, aye. But he doesn't make them. He doesn't make them every fourth week. He very, very rarely makes them. And that's what, as a player, you're judged on your decisions on the ball and what you do and your decisions. Referees are the same. And Neil Doyle's one of the best referees in the league. There's no question. But he got one wrong. He takes it in the chin and he moves on. And he'll be just as good next week.
Obviously Doherty got sent off towards the end there, and we saw that interview where he did say, kind of echoed what you said, Garrett. He said Neil doesn't usually make those decisions, and he's got a lot of time and respect for Neil, so he's going to have to probably iron that out with him over the next couple of weeks.
I'm still not over a red card he gave to Doc in
would you stop, would you lad?
2000 and Jesus. Gonna say
92 was it
18 maybe 16, so 10 years ago.
You sound over a video.
Neil is one of the good guys.
Drogheda are a funny one, where, you know, you look at some of the results recently and it's up and down. They're only 6 points behind Dundalk going into this game. They're 9 points clear of Waterford at the bottom. They're 3 clear of Sligo, who are in the relegation kind of promotion playoff spot. Like, if Dundalk win this game, all of a sudden they're 3 points behind, or Drogheda win this game, they're 3 points behind Dundalk, and the narrative just flips completely for Doherty's side.
Yeah, that's a league where we're at the minute, and that's what when Vinnie touched on Dundalk with suspensions and red cards stuff. It does crack up with you and injuries. I mean, Drogs at the minute, Keely came off again after 54 minutes. He came off after 70 minutes the game before that. He's obviously struggling. Quinn came off at half time. Bulger's injured at the back as well. Like, they're just going through this patch where they've got a few injuries. Things aren't going well. Confidence is low. So, I mean, are we worried about Drogheda? Kevin Doherty's been there, done that. He's wore the T-shirt. So I'm not too worried about them right now. But you're right. It could get messy very quickly. I mean, you've got Drogheda and Waterford now are the game after this one. So that's another huge game. So they obviously were beat by them at the weekend. They've got another tough game this week. And then they've got Waterford again. That then becomes, if they were to lose that, and Waterford then become only 6 points behind them. Like, it just condenses everything right down. But if they were going to get two good results, it brings them right up the mid-table again. And that's the beauty of our league right now.
The interesting thing on Drogheda, Ben, is that they've switched to a back four, haven't they, over the last week or two. Whether he sticks with that in terms of that three centre-halves were pivotal to everything they've done, not just defensively, but when they were going the other way, set-pieces, second phase of set-pieces. So, but Mark Doyle's a good signer for them, so he'll do really well. Brandon Cabinet, Warren Davis seem to be, from an attacking point of view, you know, if the chances be got, they'll be thereabouts. So, Drogheda are very, very good at what they do, make it difficult. Really unlucky the other night not to at least get a point. They'll be fine, and that's what the league's. So many teams in our league. If Dundalk or Drogheda were to win, I don't even know their fixtures, but if they win the next three games in a row, no one would be shocked. And if they're to lose the next three games in a row, no one should be shocked either. You know, a lot of teams are like that, whether it's Galway, Dundalk, Drogheda. It's so consistently inconsistent that it's brilliant.
Yeah, but you've got to look at Drogheda's next two games, Dundalk and Waterford. I mean, they're massive. When you look at kind of two or three games streaks, that's mad. If they were to go and lose both those games, then you're looking at Kevin going, phew, it's a bit of a crisis.
Yeah, after that Waterford game as well, it's the international break. So it's a 2 week gap before they play St. Pat's when they come out of that. We might talk about Waterford, Vinny, because I know you spoke about Graham Coughlin about 2 weeks ago, I think, on the podcast. They had that 4-1 loss to Pats. A 2-2 draw with Garrett's Derry. And I think it's fair to say Derry were lucky to get out of that one with a 2-2 draw at the end. But then they go and continue maybe on that good form from the Friday night with the 2-1 win, albeit with a slice of luck. Is there a chance here where Graham Coughlin can claw Waterford back into a race to stay above the bottom two spots here?
There is. We're starting to see signs of what I spoke about and with terms of what Graham is going to bring to the club. His biggest challenge is the next transfer window. His biggest challenge is the players already in the dressing room and you'd be buy into it. And the discussion we had earlier on, and Garrett was correctly referenced Waterford, Graham would have seen Drogheda and went, he would have liked the looks of that Drogheda team in terms of the doggedness, the sort of going to war on the pitch and all of them things. And I'm not sure he has a squad full of that. He has a squad of talented League of Ireland footballers, to be fair, but he probably will want them to scrap for 90 minutes, and whatever they do, all forward quickly, and let Lonergan and Almond put the finishing touches up to it. And I'm not sure he has that squad. The squad was built by a different manager with a different mindset and probably a bit more possession-based than what Graham will want them to be. But what's that, 4 points out of six over the weekend?
Unbelievable.
That's really, really good. Really? That's his first week working with them. I think it's a mountain to climb, but I'd be a little bit worried about second or third from bottom at the moment.
Yeah.
Gareth, did you manage to watch that game on Friday night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see signs of what he was trying to do. And listen, Graham came out and he just told everyone what he was going to expect. So it was a message to everyone else, all their teams, but it was a message to the dressing room. And let me tell you something now, they weren't great in the first half against Derry. Very good in the second half. Same against Drogheda. Very good in the second half. But they started to get the ideas through and the type of work that they were needed to do. And again, the intensity was way there. Someone like Tommy Lonergan, who we wouldn't kind of put down as the greatest runner in the league or for his work rate, he was working his socks off. Amund was the same. And it was right through the team. You could see the aggression in everybody's mind. And it would remind you a wee bit of the aggression that we see at Dundalk. But they were good. And you could see them getting better as the game was going on. So I would imagine week in, week out, he's going to get better and better. And he referenced that. He said that he couldn't believe how unfit they were when he came in. They were doing a lot of running. And I would say they'll be running between now and the end of the season.
Do you know what, Gareth? That's a little bit, and I'd have a bit of time for Graham. That's a little bit disrespectful to Don Daly. I wouldn't say they're unfit. I'd say if he had his time back, he might take that comment back. I'd say if you think about English football and the level he operated at, Bristol City, Boston, where else was he? He was down those leagues, right? He would have walked in, and the first thing he would have expected to see is, particularly where Drogheda or Waterford are, 4, 5, 6 lads, 6 foot something, built like shithouses. And thinking, I'll build my team around them. They walked in and saying, nice, pretty, good footballers, fellas who can pass, move, all of them different things. He's probably gone to himself, went, yeah, I've got to fix this. And he has to fix and add that aggression and that sort of running power and that dogginess and that will to win. And that's the culture shock he would have seen. And we see it the other way when we look at English football and wonder why Dawson Devoy can't go over there and at least play championship level, and because they're playing every 3 days, they're playing 48 games down the levels. They're just war, man on war, like just and teams play football over there, don't get me wrong, but you've got to be so physically at it that I'd say Graham Coughlin has got a huge culture shock when he's walked into that dressing room. And he's got to, by hook or by crook, make people run, win headers, win battles, win 50-50s, win 60-40s against them. And that's the only way they're going to stay up in his mind. He's the one in the hot seat, so that's what he's going to try and do.
If we look ahead to the team that they're facing on Friday night, Shelburne got their first win in Dublin last Friday against Pats.
I heard they're closing down Talca Park, man. Did you hear that?
Well, I hope not, Finny, because I'll be there. So
no, they're going to close it down and play away from home for the rest of the season.
I wouldn't be surprised with some of the results that have gone on so far inside Talca. Look, we know Joey O'Brien said he thinks he's got the best squad in the league. Maybe, just maybe, are we starting to see that tide turn? And maybe we are seeing the best squad in the league with that result against Pats. And look, we'll get on to Pats in a minute, but a really disappointing one for them. But mainly on Shelburne. Might this be the time where you start to turn it? And do you look, Waterford obviously have been good the last couple of weeks, but are you going to be given a better opportunity to get your first home win after you've just got a win last week, Gareth?
Oh, big time. They'll be rubbing their lips together. As I said, I looked at that fixture and I went, that's the game I would love to go and watch. Two really attacking teams, squads, two managers that are basically fearless, that have no baller. Even when things aren't going well, Joey O'Brien's got that personality to say, I'm just going to give my players the confidence. And the whole best squad in the league, yes, that would have been a bit of this telling the outside world, but that was telling the squad that he still believes in them and he still believes that they can go on a run and make Europe or even get a wee bit higher. So listen, make no bones about it. He's got a quality squad. And home to Waterford now. I'd fear for Waterford. Listen, I know Graham's got them running hard and stuff like that, but that's going to be a tough match against a quality Shelburne team. I seen it when I watched them live in Talca Park about 3 or 4 weeks ago. For about 25 minutes, they were incredible. Really, really impressive. Recycling the ball, technically good, getting balls into the box, trying to thread passes through, and at the back they had Barrett back for his first game, and everyone just looked way more assured when he's in the team.
Yeah, like I'm worried we're talking about how poor they've been at home, but even if you look at the last four games, maybe they already have turned that corner. It's two wins and two draws. They're unbeaten in four games, could go unbeaten in five. Vinny, is there a chance here with Europe on the line as well that Shelburne actually might just be clicking into gear, maybe quietly, and we haven't really even really noticed it yet?
I think we've both said it, or a few of us have said it around Shelburne team and the squad he has. Joey O'Brien's not right, but he is right. He's close to one of the best squads. Rovers still have the best, and that shells. Depending on your style, that Shells and Pat squads are probably second and Bowes. There's nothing between the three of them. But I just think they've got a team. When you think of, say, Harry Wood and Jarvis, you think of them in particular, and Henry Francis, you've got teams. When now that the pitches are starting to change and the weather's improving, and there's a good roll to the ball on every ground you go to, and talk has been decent, so it's not an excuse. I'm just saying, I think they're going to get better as the summer comes along. I think that style will suit them. I think they've got top of the ground footballers, and I think over the next few weeks, they will continue to improve. I think it's probably, in one sense, Waterford, far Rovers away, is probably the most difficult game they could have this week in terms of what they're trying to achieve and where Shells are at in the mindset. Feels like there's a good result or a couple of good results on the way for Shells. So I expect them to turn that around. I think the hangover from the end of last season is there for everyone to see. They just have to scrape their way into Europe this year and build again next year. But they've got some really talented players. Obviously, real sad news, Paddy Barrett. I mean, he's got an amazing family. They're all head cases, a bit like Paddy, but the loss of his mother over the weekend, just before the game, and you know, they've lost him for a big chunk of the season. Casey's a huge loss as well. So Joey's still searching to get a fit team, as I said, with the knock on the lap of what happened last year. But I think they will improve as the next number of weeks come on.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers from everyone at Off the Ball with the Barrett family. Obviously saw those lovely scenes at the end of the game as well, with the banner down in front of the Shells fans in Richmond Park. We might stay with a team who are involved in Richmond Park, and St. Pat's played Derry City this Friday night in a little bit of an LOI pod derby. But Gareth, last Friday night, the 2-2 draw against Waterford. This feels like it's symptomatic of Tiernan Lynch's Derry that we've seen so far this season, to not get a win in these games, get it over the line. Were they value for the draw? I know it was a last gaps draw in the end.
Probably just about. I mean, there's no doubt about it. In the second half, Waterford were excellent. Derry were okay in the first half. If anybody deserved to win, it would have been Waterford. I have no problem saying that. Two teams that lack in confidence. I mean, real lack of quality in the game. Koto puts a ball in the left back from the left-hand side. That was the best bit of quality in the whole game. And Kevin Long gets a header. And then he goes from hero to zero in the last minute. All he's got to do is jump for the ball, or at least put off Ryla in the back stick. It stood up in the back stick. He's got to just go and smash him. He's got to take one for the team, and he wins his team 3 points. But Ryla, in fairness to him, he's come on, he's made an impact, and he's got his goal. So I don't think Pats will like going up to Celtic Park. I really don't. When you think about how good a condition Richmond Park's in, they love that style of football. Stephen takes pride in his pitches. I remember when he was up at the Brandywell with us, he used to torture the groundsman, torture him week in, week out about getting the pitch, whether it be the training pitch or the actual pitch, in good condition for us to play. So he'll be scratching himself now, going up and looking at that Celtic Park pitch. Of course, Derry have got Pats Friday, Shelburne Monday. But as I said, Ben, in this podcast loads, I don't have no qualms about Tiernan Lynch being able to be set up a team as a defensive unit to basically hit on a counter-attack, maybe get a set piece. Now, they are missing a few players. They're missing four or five starters. But I have no problem. He can set this up. It's going away to Waterford, Drogheda, Galway. It just doesn't seem to be able to set his team up and give his team the tactical information and the philosophy to go out and break these teams down. So I'm not too worried about this weekend. They could go any way, but Derry could easily pick up 4 points.
The last win for Derry was, of course, that first game at Celtic Park in Shamrock Rovers, and I was up there, and I think anyone who's up there will agree with you, the pitch isn't exactly in a pristine condition, as we've seen just the last couple of results. 1-1 with Bohemians.
Ben, right?
Go on, yeah.
Ben, you were at that game, right? What was the biggest takeaway? And Vinny's just talked about it at the Dundalk game, was the intensity of the Derry City players, right? So they obviously saw the ground Derry put a lot of effort. It was an incredible atmosphere. It was an incredible spectacle for Derry City to put on. They went out and they performed at high levels. Tiernan doesn't seem to be able to get them up. It's as if the players have to get themselves up for those TV games or games against Shamrock Rovers. The lack of consistency in the players' performances has been startling. It really has. And if Derry against Pats, who are a good football side, if they can get the level that they played against Shamrock Rovers Friday, Monday, they should have no problem. But we just don't know what's going to turn up.
Whose fault is that, Gareth?
I think it's a manager.
It's hard to argue that, Ben. It's like, if a team plays so well against Shamrock Rovers and the build, everything that went around it, you know, the Celtic Park, all of that stuff, he's managed that part of the week. And he's managed to let people in or let certain things in that got the week and the performance he got. Well, the best managers get that same performance down in Waterford 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I was literally going to ask you the same question, Gareth. Like, how do you manage to get yourself up for the first game of Celtic Park? It's pretty easy how you could manage to get yourself up for it. I mean, we were there. The atmosphere was unlike nearly anything you've ever seen in the League of Ireland. But how do you manage to get yourself up for that? And you can't for any other game that you're involved in since.
Well, a wee bit of responsibility has to go on the players as well for the other games, a little bit. But it's up to the manager to give them the confidence, the belief, the structure, the philosophy to go and give them an idea of how they're going to win the game. It's as if the players took it upon themselves as, we're just going to go at Rovers. I've seen it one other time this season with Derry, and it was the first half against Shells in the Brandywell. Derry were incredible. They pressed the life out of Shells, didn't let them move, created a couple of really good chances from open play, which Derry have struggled to do. It seems as if there's a lack of belief or a lack of philosophy of how we're going to play. There's no consistency with anything. No consistency with the team selection, the team formation, the consistency of the philosophy to win games, the types of tactics they're going to use, how they're going to break teams down, how they're going to defend. I don't know. Usually when you look at a team, no matter if it's in the First Division or in the Premier Division, you have an idea of their identity. Derry just lack it at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's probably evident, I think, for fans watching as well. I think that it's a stark contrast when you go up against, look, I know Shamrock Rovers weren't great in that game, but you can tell exactly every time you watch Shamrock Rovers what style is. We were at Dundalk on Friday night and you can tell from minute one, this is exactly the identity of the team. They're going to press you, they're going to be on the front foot. And they actually, it's interesting as well, Dundalk changed the formation on Friday night and completely changed the system. And new players playing where they've never played before, but everyone was still bought into that identity of high work weight, high press and not letting the other team get a sniff on the ball. I tell you, it's hard to argue with you there, Gareth, that Derry don't have that at the moment. The bad news is that they're going up against St. Pat's team, who are going to be itching to get back after the loss of Shelburne last week. Vinny, on that game last week, is that the type of game where Pats can't get that win over the line when Rovers drop points? Is that a sign that maybe, you know, how good are Pats to mount a title challenge to Rovers this season?
Yeah, so 100% is. So, when, forget Pats for 1 second. You're Shamrock Rovers. You've lost to Dundalk. There's a little bit of rivalry. It's probably drifted away at the moment. You walk into the changing rooms. You check your phone as a player and you find out Pats lose. All of a sudden, doesn't feel as bad. Don't feel as pressure about your next game. And they'll never say this out loud. Just think, the team that's chasing you down are soft. And the results over the last number of weeks have not been good enough. They've had some good results. And the last double header, they drew both games, didn't they? Down in Sligo on Monday against, Galway.
Yeah, it was Aaron Balder last minute, goal against Galway. So, yeah.
So, like, and I keep saying this, Rovers are absolutely outstanding team. Brilliantly managed. But if you don't put them under pressure, you don't know who put there. And the difference is, if Pat had it been strong enough to go and get 3 points on Friday night, and I know it's against Shells, so it's not just about that game in isolation. Shells good on the day. It's about that Sligo Friday, Monday, not getting 6 points is. Rovers walk in, and the shoulders are down, the head's down, and you look at Pat's result and go, grand. They cannot, the lads in the dressing room at Shamrock Rovers cannot be fearing Pat's. Can't. There's no evidence to back it up. It was such a bad couple of weeks for them in terms of putting pressure on Rovers. And like I say, why is it important that the 3 points be behind or 3 points ahead. Well, I'll tell you why it's important. Because Rovers have a margin for error the longer that continues, like losing to Dundalk on Friday night. Because Derry have done it, Dundalk have done it. Everyone rises their game for the best team come to town, the league champions. Unless somebody's putting under pressure. And I keep using loads of different examples of, think of a player, think of a coach. Nil all, Pats are 3 points ahead of you. You're nil all somewhere, and you go and take a wing back off and you put an extra forward on, and all of a sudden you get done, you lose 1-0. That's pressure. That's making a decision under pressure. Or a centre-half goes and stays in the box a little bit longer than he normally does for a set piece, and all of a sudden the team counter-attack and you can see it. You don't have that pressure, Chamacross. You just keep doing it the same way, the same things, the same processes, because nobody's coming after them. That's Pats' problem. Doesn't seem... I hope they do. It doesn't seem like they've got the belly for the fight.
We're just running out of time here, but very, very quickly before we finish, Gareth, Joey Nang is going to be missing, obviously, for the World Cup as well over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a big 6 weeks or so for Danny Rogers. Can Pats maybe maintain the title challenge with Anand gone and the way results like that in big games have gone?
Yeah, and just to revert back to the last week's game, I saw nothing, and that was just a moment, the moments. Frittas in the middle of the park going unbelievably well, unbelievable pass. Danny Kelly made that inside run, which he's famous for, just with his pace. Pats will be fine, even with an hang away. Massive, massive, massive loss.
Fine probably. For what, Carrot? Fine for what? Sorry. What, when you say it'd be fine, what do you mean? Fine
with
for what?
With an angle gone away.
Yeah, but fine to win a league or go after
it. No, they challenge the top. Like, they put a bit of pressure on Rovers. Do I think they're going to surpass Rovers? I don't think so. I think it's a stretch too far, but they've got to be looking at second place, third place. But losing an angle to the World Cup, I don't think it's going to derail that. He's an important part of their team, obviously, and he's a good goalkeeper. But I think they're watching them play. Put it this way, right? There's a clip in the highlights. It's 60 minutes, right? It's 0-0. Pats have six people in the box, and they have two in the edge of the box. That's why they'll be fine, because Stephen Kenny's giving them confidence, belief. They'll be fine.
Just to the games, we haven't got a chance to touch them because we're running out of time here. Galway United host Bohemians out west. The 4-1 victory for Galway United in the Connacht Derby as well at the weekend over Sligo. Steve-O's back next week. He might touch on Galway and Sligo a little bit more, but that is a huge win for both sides. And Galway maybe putting a little bit of gap between themselves and the two at the bottom. And then Shamrock Rovers will host Sligo Rovers in the Battle of the Rovers in Tala Stadium from 8 p.m. on Friday evening. You can listen to our live and exclusive League of Ireland commentary this Friday night, the Loud Derby, Drogheda United against Dundalk. Steve will be alongside Key Tracy for that one. Hopefully less fireworks off the pitch and more on the pitch maybe than there was last time in Oriel Park. And then League of Ireland Late Night will be on Friday night, myself and Shane Keegan. Vinnie Perth, Gareth McGlynn, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon, lads.
Thanks, man.
And Gareth Milo Mahagwiv, for you for listening. Take care, folks.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.